Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, I think it is only fair for me to start, before I plunge into some of my thoughts, to also thank Bishop Jim for this event. He thanked everybody else, so I would like to thank him also for making this event possible with the help of a team, starting with Father Nigel and a lot of other people. And I would also like here to highlight the input of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. بسم الآب والابن والروح القدس إله واحد آمين. To be perfectly honest with you, I didn't have the foggiest last week what to say today. Do I go into politics? Is it really the place for me to talk politics? I didn't think so. So finally, I gradually went toward the idea that I'll share with you this evening a few snapshots. When put together, they might help narrate a story of a region, a vast region, and of its peoples. And the story of how I began formulating my thoughts to share them with you this evening began last week on Red Sunday, when I attended Divine Liturgy at the Armenian Saint Yeriche Church, not far from Gloucester Road tube station. This day, Red Sunday, in Armenian Garmir Giragi, reminds the faithful that the path to resurrection passes through sacrifice, witness, and even martyrdom. Armenians on this day also recall the suffering, pain, and exile of their genocide as far back as 1915. In fact, in his homily, Bishop Hovakim sat there with us today, quoted the Christian thinker C.S. Lewis. I know that he likes him. And C.S. Lewis said that suffering is not meaningless, that it can become a means by which God awakens the human person, calling him toward truth and toward himself. The bishop also quoted Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a favorite of mine as it happens, who lived under Nazi Germany and gave his life for the truth. Bonhoeffer emphasized that true faith must supersede passive contemplation and assume courage and responsibility. Then, a couple of days later, during a global prayer organized by the World Council of Churches in Geneva, Michael Apps, the General Secretary of the Middle East Council of Churches, to which I belonged some centuries ago, reminded his audience that sustainable peace is not achieved through force, but through justice, equality, and the recognition of our shared humanity. It is our duty to amplify this call in every community, in every church, and in every heart. Dr. Apps referred to the Middle East, North Africa, and Gulf as regions that continue to endure conflict. He is Lebanese, by the way. They continue to endure conflict, displacement, and profound humanitarian suffering, where communities are torn apart families flee their homes, and countless lives are shattered. Middle Eastern churches, he added, have been built on the blood of saints and martyrs. Yet amidst suffering, Middle Eastern Christians have also known hospitality and resilience. Their communities have borne witness to sacrificial love whenever it is broken. And also last week, Pope Leo spoke about power when he was on his apostolic journey in Equatorial Guinea. He reflected on St. Augustine's classic opus, The City of God, that describes two symbolic cities existing side by side in history. One focused on self-love and worldly success, the other on love of God and lasting peace. Saint Augustine interpreted events and history according to the model of two cities. From this perspective, the two cities coexist until the end of time, and every human being, through the decisions he or she manifests day by day, belongs to one or the other of them. And here, by the way, I come to the crux of the message from these snapshots that I'm sharing with you. I recently also read a piece by the Israeli-British architect Eyal Weitzman, who is the founder of something called forensic architecture in the UK, that maps the physical fabric of crime scenes during wartime. His renowned counter-architectural models investigate links between violence, conflict, and the environment. Check his new book entitled Ungrounding to help you understand that we all, but certainly those of us living or witnessing in the Middle East, North Africa, and the Gulf regions, are living in a world today where some of our leaders are fomenting deliberate and disturbing chaos and exporting political entropy. And of course, today on this occasion, my mind goes, as do my prayers, to the Middle East. Does it not disturb you as it does me when someone, a politician like Benjamin Netanyahu, suggests publicly that Jesus Christ has no advantage over Genghis Khan? Or when a politician threatens to bomb a country back to the Stone Age? Or when a radical Islamist kills innocent men and women in Iraq, in Syria, or in Libya? Friends, the Middle East, from which I originally hail, is facing today incremental perils. A sense of exclusion is overwhelming the region. Jewish exclusiveness, Muslim exclusiveness, Christian exclusiveness. I fear, I really do, that we're witnessing the radicalization of faith that excludes the other violently. The other is no longer always the neighbor. The other is more often the enemy. Religion is being weaponized by politics, by the followers of all three monotheisms. So, what do we do? I switch gears here and refer you to the pastoral letter by the Latin Rite Catholic Patriarch of Jerusalem 3 days ago. He reflected on this very consequence of the chaos that we are beginning to witness. He encouraged us all to be like the disciples after the Ascension and took a leaf from the French philosopher Michel Foucault when he underlined the need for Christians to exercise parhesia. Parhesia is the ancient Greek concept of boldness that involves the duty to speak to power candidly, even when doing so involves significant personal risk. His words reminded me also, and you will see perhaps the irony, an Armenian quoting a famous Turkish author. His words also reminded me of an interview recently by the Turkish author Ece Temelkuran, who, interviewed by Krish for Channel 4 News podcast, said that this is the first time in human history we are mourning in future tense. Listen to the construct of her sentence. We are losing some of our values, some of our certainties, and the future looks dimmer for the new generations. Not for me. In a sense, I'm over the hill. I'm thinking of my nieces and nephews to start with. So in answer to that tantalizing title that I chose for my short talk today, what next? What about us? What do? We, clergy and laity alike, we should at the very least dig deeper into our souls and seek the prophetic courage to speak out, to stand in solidarity, and not always to sit on the fence, to be diplomatic, to be timid, to be defensive, or to be fearful. Did any of you listen to Archbishop Stephen Cottrell speaking out of Lambeth Palace or from his residence in York? Have you heard the Palestinian Lutheran pastor Munzer Isaac in Ramallah or Bethlehem in Palestine? These are thoughts that I share with you because they weigh on me. And I'm trying to involve you in that moment that I'm sharing with you. So let me conclude with two more thoughts. My first thought incarnates a recent post on Twitter, now known as X, by Parek O'Brien on Channel 4 News. A young Lebanese woman recites an unpublished poem by her mom, Khatun Salma, that she found in the rubble of the building where both her mom and dad had been killed by an Israeli strike 3 weeks ago. She wrote, and I quote, "Have you seen the smoke? Have you smelled the fire? Glimpsed my weakness? Seen my exhaustion? Have you seen the pieces of me scattered? I'm scared," she said. "I'm scared that we've come to the time when I won't be able to feel you either. Forgive me, my daughter. I'm not here, but I love you." For me, listening to this young daughter recite her dead mom's poem made me think. This is part premonition and part Lebanon's love song, isn't it? And this is why Timothy, the brilliant organist and musician, started our evening today before the procession with Fairouz, the Lebanese diva, who sang Li Beirut, to Beirut. My second thought for peace in the Middle East is familiar pretty much to each and every one of you. It is Saint Francis of Assisi's prayer, in a world of crisis, chaos, and dog-eat-dog tensions. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Can we come together, at least this evening, in this wonderful ecumenical service, with three bishops assisting us? Can we come together in prayerful unity and remember what the late Pope Paul VI said? If you want peace, work for justice. Can we, as Canon Ruth Valerio just read in the second reading, can we reach out to the other and help keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Can we help find peace and pray for peace today and always in the Middle East? If we find ourselves on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, who are we? Are we the Levite? Are we the priest? Or are we the Samaritan? Who is our neighbor? Can we? Amen.